Joshua chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 20. The fall of Jericho. In this discourse, I will be somewhat personal and speak about myself. Not because I want to draw attention to myself, but I don't know how else to illustrate what I want to say here. We all know the story. Joshua commanded the people, under the direction of God, to walk around the city once for each of 6 days, blowing the horns but saying nothing, carrying the Ark of God in the middle of the march. On the seventh day, to march round and blow the trumpets. And when they had circled the city 7 times this time, and the people had heard the trumpet blast, then they had to shout, for the Lord had given them the city. The walls fell down, and as it says in verse 20, so every man charged straight in, and they took the city. These are the lessons I want to bring out in this brief discourse. First, the fall of Jericho was a miraculous event. Like the crossing of the Jordan, like the crossing of the Red Sea, these are miracles. To try and explain or explain away the fall of Jericho, these high, these strong walls, by such means as the pounding of the people's feet, or the sound of the horns, or the sound of the shout, as though that made any contribution to some kind of minor earthquake, is not only ridiculous, it's blasphemous, it's offensive to God. Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. The walls were strong, and all the blowing of ram's horns and all the shouting and all the rest of it would never bring the walls down. It was a miracle. Creation is a miracle. The resurrection is a miracle. Regeneration is a miracle. I don't apologize for it. I don't try to explain it. I preach it and declare it. Jericho fell by a miracle. But God uses means. That's the second point. He could work directly, but he uses means. And the means he uses here are the marchings and the shoutings, the trumpet blowings of the Israelites. The one shouting at the end, and the trumpet blowings every day. They had no intrinsic power, but God uses means. God is sovereign. He has decreed that by the preaching of the gospel, he will save sinners. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. By the preaching of the gospel, and by preaching that doesn't only mean pulpit work, of course, all believers are preachers, ministers of God, priests of the Lord. As we witness, as we testify, as we bear, as we declare the gospel of Christ, as we live it out before men, as we bring up our children in the fear and nurture and admonition of God, God uses our feeble means. The means are feeble. The means here at Jericho, ram's horns, people marching around the city, carrying the Ark of God, shouting, what can that do? I said I would liken it to myself. I put up these sermons, these audio clips, these video clips. David H. J. Gay Ministry. It sounds so grand, doesn't it? No, it's nothing at all. The feebleness of it, the uselessness of it in itself, the intrinsic weakness of it. How can the walls of Jericho fall down? How can sinners be saved, brought out of darkness, out of Adam into Christ? What can my ministry do about that? How can I edify the saints? How can I bring any light where there's darkness? How can I fight against tradition, error, Satan, sin, the world, the flesh? Oh, what is my ministry going to do about that? Nothing. In itself. The arm of flesh is weak. It's not my power. It wasn't the Israelites' power either. But God used their weakness. God used their feebleness. God used their foolishness. And he brought a great miracle about. And that is my confidence and hope, that he will take these feeble efforts, even this one now in this short discourse here, and use this feeble effort to bring glory to his name. Their obedience was marked also by their patience, by their courage, by their unquestioning obedience and loyalty to God, and trust in his word. Did he say, carry the ark? They carried it. Did he say, blow the trumpets? They blew the trumpets. Did he say, keep silent? They kept silent. Did he say, shout? They shouted. Mine is to obey. The Lord is to do. It's trust and obey. Courage, faith, patience, perseverance, day after day. I don't see any record here of grumbling. What are we doing this for? What a waste of effort. We could be going straight in. There was courage, because they were taking a risk. If the people of Jericho had any sense, they would have come out and slaughtered the Israelites after they were tired of marching around and carrying the ark and so on. But they were shut up. The Lord had shut them up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Verse 1. And so the miracle was wrought. The weakness of the means, the power of God, and the accomplishment of the miracle. The city fell. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. It was a work of God. These are the lessons I see here. And they encourage me as a believer. And I want to encourage you, believing brother, believing sister. Let us go on with our labor. It is weak, it is feeble. Let us admit it. God delights in taking the feebleness of his children and the smallness of their efforts. And he uses their feebleness, and he uses their weakness to work miracles. And it is a miracle whenever a sinner is converted. It is a miracle when the saints are edified and built up. It's the work of grace, it's the work of God's Spirit. There's no amount of intellectual teaching is going to bring about spiritual growth in grace and knowledge. I hope the seminary teachers realize this. They can lecture with all their degrees and their qualifications. I'm not saying a word against it, but mere intellect will not do it. It needs the power, the might, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. That's the might and power we need. The might and power of God's Spirit. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. It's a challenge to me to be obedient. It's a challenge to me to be faithful, to be courageous, to persevere, to go on day after day, seeing no apparent result. How Israel could have said, look, nothing's happened. We walk around 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. What's happening here, Joshua? No, they went on. And the wall fell. Whatever our Jericho is today, whatever God commands us to do, may we do it with all our might, yes, but with patience and faith and trust, looking to the Lord to work a miracle. Is there a word for the unbeliever here? Of course there is. You see, the people of Jericho could have looked out and laughed. I'm sure they would have done. They might have been afraid, but they must have laughed and wondered what these people were doing. How foolish to think they can knock this wall down by walking around and blowing horns. What will that do? Dismissing it, you see, like Goliath dismissing David. I am sure many, many unbelievers laugh at the gospel. They dismiss the thought that they are sinners. They need to be saved by the blood of a Christ, of Christ who died for sinners. Can't they save themselves? Aren't they master of their own fate? Can't they run their own affairs? They're sufficient. They're strong enough. But the wall will fall. I warn sinners, learn from Jericho. You might be tightly shut up today. You might be afraid. You might be laughing. You might be boasting against God and his cause and his people and his gospel. But be warned. Just as the walls of Jericho fell, all your defenses will come down. And as for me as a believer, do you know preaching the gospel, in a sense, is a ridiculous thing? I'll tell you why. I have to command dead sinners, yes, dead sinners, to repent and believe. I have to command and urge dead, ruined, helpless, hopeless sinners to turn to the Lord, and I know they can't. I have to tell them that. I know that. It's counterproductive. It's counterintuitive. How can it work? I don't have to reason it all out. As Jericho had these great walls, and Joshua commanded the people to walk round, I will go and say to dead sinners, repent, believe, trust Christ, turn to Christ, knowing that only God's Spirit can do it. It may seem ridiculous. It may bring the ire. It may bring the laughter. It may bring the mocking of the people I address. It may bring their refusal. But in God's time, I look to him to work a miracle that he will bring his elect out. He will save sinners. He will edify his people. These are the lessons I see with the fall of Jericho. The opposition, the difficulty is immense. God's power is infinite. Mine is not to reason why or how, but to obey and to go. However ridiculous and foolish it may seem in the eyes of the world, the means that we use, though they are weak, are mighty, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's what we read in the New Testament. These weapons are spiritual, and they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The fall of Jericho. Brother and sister, let us go on today, being encouraged by the fall of Jericho. May our Jerichos fall by the same power of God, and may we be obedient to our Lord as we face these Jerichos. And may sinners learn from this discourse, and while there is yet time, seek the Lord while he may be found. Now call upon him, even at this moment, and be saved. If you refuse to come to Christ, you will perish. Your walls will fall. Your defenses will crumble. May we all learn from the fall of Jericho.